Joining us today is Bruce Landsberg of AOPA's Air Safety Foundation. I am Jeb Burnside, Editor-in-Chief of Aviation Safety Magazine. Bruce has agreed to come on the phone with us here today to talk a little bit about aviation safety's the April issue with respect to maneuvering flight. Bruce, define maneuvering flight.
We follow the same definition that National Transportation Safety Board uses in categorizing, and the term maneuvering covers a broad area, and it's tempting to think of maneuvering as something that somebody goes out and does with intent and purpose, and the reality is that we maneuver on every flight. But the NTSB's official definition includes the following: aerobatics, low pass, buzzing, pull-up, aerial application maneuver, turn to reverse direction, parentheses, box canyon type maneuver, or engine failure after takeoff and the pilot tries to return to the runway.
Okay.
So you have a very broad connection or description, I should say, of the many different things that would constitute maneuvering.
When we look at the NTSB's accident data, their accident statistics, and specifically perhaps those data that the ASF crunches each year in its NOL report, do you break down, for example, the attempted turn back after an engine failure from the buzzing type of maneuvering accident?
In the NOL report, we have, at least in our present iterations, not gotten quite that granular. I think as we go forward, you may see us starting to get into a little more detail. Some people have already told us this is way more information than they're looking for, but we do slice and dice this in a variety of different ways. One of the things that I look at is, and we'll get into this probably later, but you make the distinction between maneuvering that is sort of normal and incidental to a flight, operating in the traffic pattern or something and getting too slow and having a stall spin, as opposed to what some of us would consider a little bit egregious in terms of buzzing or very deliberate low flying type of thing. Those are two different animals. NTSB doesn't categorize them other than to say that they are in the maneuvering category, and then we tend to pull them out a little bit and look at them, although we may not specifically do subsets of them within the NOL report. You can go in and you can take a look on our database, go into asf.org,
mm-hmm.
and that's open to all pilots, not just AOPA members, and click on the accident database or accident analysis area, and then go to safety database, and you can pretty much customize your own search function and be able to come up even down to aircraft type, dates, and states, and that sort of thing.
It's a very, very good tool, and I would certainly encourage people who are doing research on these and other kinds of general aviation accidents to use that.
We'll have something later on this spring, which we're calling the Pilot Safety Announcements, PSAs,
mm-hmm.
and later on this spring or early summer, you're going to see some on maneuvering flight. They're very short segments, about 30 seconds each, just get pilots to think about what they're doing.
Right.
Our first two that we have up are on fuel management, and I won't say anything more than that. Fuel PSA, I think you'll find them quite entertaining and thought-provoking.
Now, this is a new product coming out from ASF?
We started it last fall, and the idea behind it is to try to reach pilots who would not ordinarily be going online
mm-hmm.
or going to safety seminars or might be cruising someplace else. And like a typical public service announcement that's used to remind people to drive safely or
mm-hmm.
not to do drugs or something like that, you have to kind of catch them where they live. So this is an experiment to try a non-traditional approach and just with a quick hit get people to think about what are you doing and
mm-hmm.
why are you doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to work or not, but it certainly won't hurt.
There have been a few occasions in my career where before I went out and actually did something with an airplane, I physically stopped myself and asked, how's this going to look in the NTSB report? Too little thought-provoking stimuli are out there for many GA pilots. Too often we see them after the fact, having done something, let's say. We kind of scratch our head and say, what was he thinking? Let me ask you about your most recent NOLA report, the 2007 edition, which by necessity kind of, I think, goes back and looks at 2006 accidents. You wrote in your cover letter, quote, maneuvering flight, which we highlighted as a concern last year, dipped significantly from 80 or 33.1% fatal accidents in 2005 to 54 or 25% of fatal accidents in 2006. Has ASF been able to identify a specific cause or result to which they can attribute that reduction?
Well, of course, it's been the Air Safety Foundation's emphasis on this that has had the immediate positive result. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
We'd like to take credit. As you know, there are many factors that go into the tracking of GA accident statistics, and the reality is that we're dealing with very small numbers. And so when something moves around like that, you have to say, okay, is this a one-year spike or dip? And this is one thing we're constantly reminding the media and the regulators and the pilot community at large, that jumps up or down in numbers, while they are interesting, maybe nothing more than just a spike or a dip, and we're more interested in the long-term trends. Something is happening over a period of 5 years, then I think you're safe to say that it could be a trend. It's trending in the trend direction, mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. I think there are some things that might help, and that's emphasis in the magazines, the mm-hmm. negative publicity. We've had some really rather bad publicity in the general media regarding the aftermath of some of the maneuvering accidents. Roseville, California comes to mind, where two pilots in a home-built aircraft went out above a subdivision and proceeded to stall and spin into a house, killing somebody on the ground. And it was just a terrible black eye for general aviation. And hopefully a number of the pilots who would be engaged or potentially thinking about this, that might have touched a nerve with them. But it won't be one thing. It'll be multiple things.
Obviously, once the accident occurs and once the statistics are developed, somewhere in between, a human comes in and looks at the evidence and attributes a cause to that. Is there a human error sometimes involved in this? And can some of these statistical excursions be explained by simply a coding issue at the NTSB?
Oh, sure. And when we catch something like that, we'll try to bring it to their attention, because every accident that comes in from NTSB, we look at it, and I hesitate to use the word filtering, but that's what we do, because we will find twin-engine Cherokees, for example, and other little anomalies, if you want to put it that way. And we'll take a look at the coding, and if we have a question on it, we'll nudge the NTSB a little bit. So it's not perfect, but I think we've pulled the mesh of the net down a little bit, so that just somebody making a clerical error is reduced, not eliminated, but it's reduced.
Yeah. Again, referring back to the 2007 NOLA report, one of the things I draw from it is that maneuvering accidents routinely account for fewer than 10% of all pilot-related accident causes, but they average between 20 and 28% of all fatal pilot-related accidents. In other words, the rate is usually fairly low, down in the noise levels, barely double digits, of accidents that are caused by pilots as opposed to mechanical problems. One quarter of the time, roughly, they are fatal. What makes the maneuvering accident so lethal?
Jeb, I wish you'd quit tossing me a softball question here. This is a very easy one to explain. By definition, sort of what happens in a maneuvering flight accident, and I'm going to oversimplify this a little bit, but you either have somebody that has gotten into a stall or spin at low altitude and unable to recover. We're going at a fairly high rate of vertical speed, and we hit the ground pretty hard,
sure.
and not in a normal landing attitude.
Sure.
And the wreckage is very nicely confined to one area. That's how they know that it was a stall spin. There's no way to dissipate that energy over any period of time. And I believe it was Bob Hoover that said, fly an aircraft as far into the crash
right.
as possible
right.
to dissipate the energy. And the survival factor is time. And if you can spread the crash over, let's say, 3 or 4 seconds, as opposed to a tenth of a second or two-tenths of a second, your odds of survival are much greater because the G-forces are spread
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes care of stall spins. Those are very bad. Only slightly less lethal, and I don't ask me for a number, it's just kind of an intuitive guess on my part, is hitting an object.
Mm-hmm.
Or the ground, where you're into a mush kind of thing. Now the wreckage is scattered farther, but the sudden stop happened almost immediately. The other thing that happens is, in other kinds of accidents, pilots usually have time to anticipate that something is going to happen. So, for example, in fuel mismanagement, that's a very low fatality-producing accident, because pilots usually know that they're getting way deep in over their head.
Right.
And they're starting to look for places to land, and they're thinking about it and anticipating, okay, if the engine quits, I'm going to do this, this, and this. That's in complete contrast to a maneuvering flight accident, where things go from pretty normal to absolutely out of control in a very short period of time.
Yeah. Of course, normal is in the eye of the beholder. A buzzing situation, acrobatic, unwarranted low flying, that kind of thing. No, there's no time to plan before you hit something. But, of course, the time to plan not
before
to hit something is
maneuver.
Exactly, is before you start the unwarranted low flying. Exactly. What can the training establishment within general aviation do to both raise the awareness of the maneuvering accident's lethality as well as prevent it?
I think there are a couple of things we might look at. Number one is the concept of envelope. And we all talk about the aircraft envelope. The main thing that training should do is to encourage pilots to stretch your personal envelope while never getting anywhere near the edge of the aircraft's envelope. And most of us, our personal envelope should be, you know, significantly less than the airplane's. Now, there are some people who would say, you got to know the airplane and go fly, absolutely, be capable of flying it absolutely to the edge. I would point out that the people outside of performance aerobatics and that sort of thing, the reason that the airline and corporate flight operations have such good safety records is that in normal flight, there is no reason to go near the aircraft, the edge of the aircraft.
Right. Envelope. They're flying it right down the middle of the envelope.
Exactly. And they make a point of doing so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we have to do, again, going back to what the professionals do, is learn to set boundary conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And then stay within those boundaries. And as you become more experienced as a pilot and more capable, your boundaries will expand.
There are certainly times where it'd be nice to, you know, maybe go do a few hammerhead stalls or roll my airplane or something like that. But it's not built for it, and I'm not built for it. But more importantly, I'm not trained for that. And if I wanted to go roll an airplane, I think what I would be doing is going out and finding a qualified aerobatic instructor, you're right, and a qualified airplane, and doing this under controlled conditions with someone who has experience doing this. How can we as an industry try to train in those kinds of reactions to low flying and maneuvering flight?
I think there are a couple of things might help. I think the first thing to do is to remind pilots, and new pilots in particular, that if they get caught, this is that they don't have an accident, but if they get caught, the FAA is not going to deal with them gently. And if they are hoping to get aircraft insurance, assume they own an aircraft and this happens, their ability to get insurance at any reasonable price is going to be greatly diminished. If they're using rental aircraft, their ability to rent from that flight school is probably going to evaporate, and this is a small community.
Mm-hmm.
People just don't think this is a good thing to do. If you crash doing something stupid, certainly within the peer group, you will not be remembered kindly by your peers.
No.
That may not be an issue for you, but I think it's something to say, you know, old Joe was a really cool pilot. The people who know are going to say, no, that was really stupid, and it shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
The other point, I guess, is to point out, as a pilot, you really don't need to impress anyone. Just the fact that you are a pilot, less than one person in about 350 is certificated
right.
to fly, based on my quick math, and I probably got that wrong. But you are already a member of a very exclusive group. We wish it weren't quite so exclusive.
Yes,
indeed. On that.
Indeed.
You don't have to impress anybody. What you've done enough is sufficient. I'd like to just say to anybody who is kind of tempted to go out and do any extreme maneuvers or buzzing or whatever, I'd like them to try this on your passengers the next time Rapture of the Sky is about to take hold. And this is a quote from the July 2007 What Was He Thinking article. Say, okay, gang, I'm about to try a maneuver that I haven't practiced, and I've had no training in. The aircraft is prohibited from this type of maneuver, and it's never been tested by the manufacturer. Now, depending on the type of the maneuver, you can also add, we're going to fly really close to the ground and well below legal limits. And then you can finish up by saying, there's a good chance that we could all die if I mess this up. But if I pull it off, it will be way cool. Are you in? What do you think the reaction of most passengers is going to be to that statement?
Exactly right. Bruce Landsberg of AOPA's Air Safety Foundation. Bruce, I can't thank you enough for your time this afternoon. I'm Jeb Burnside, Editor-in-Chief at Aviation Safety Magazine. Thank you for listening to this episode of Aviation Safety's continuing series of podcasts on AFWeb. We appreciate your patronage. Thank you very much.